The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, January 6, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We're glad you could be here for the show, and it's going to be an exciting show today. Joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. I can't believe it's Friday already. This first week just flew by.
I know. It's a first week of 2012. Lots of stuff for us to have to cover, and we do that at the beginning of the show in our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. So, Carrie, what do we have in the news today?
Sure. Well, today, to wrap up the week, we are going to talk about another marijuana initiative that possibly might be on the ballot in Washington State. Also, we're going to talk about the Republican candidates and the hurdles they're facing as they're headed up to New Hampshire now as they try to get that presidential nomination. And a study was out this week that shows who the biggest weed consumers are on the globe. You think California could have helped us out with that? No, we didn't make the top spot. I'm going to tell you who did make the top spot coming up in today's hemp headlines.
All right. Sounds like some good news for us today. Also, want to remind all of you that it is the first Friday of the month. And on the first and third Fridays and fifth Fridays, if there happens to be one, we visit with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. Steve will be joining us to talk about the top celebrity pot bust in 2011, but also to talk about an article he posted today from our own Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director, that has generated a lot of heat in the medical marijuana community. And following Steve Bloom on today's show, we're going to visit with Alan St. Pierre, the Normal executive director, who's going to give us his take on the whole issue. We'll also be taking your calls at 971-533-7111. So if you have an opinion on this, please call in. We welcome all callers. We welcome all opinions. It's about talking this out, working things out, and figuring out how we can all get together to end adult marijuana prohibition, not just for the healthy people, but for all of us. So please stick around. Normal Show Live. We will be back in just a few minutes with that stuff and your daily toker tunes. We got some Rockin' Friday today. Herb Thrasher is back from Alabama, going to join us to bring us some great rock music for today's daily toker tune for Rockin' Friday. And then later on tonight, you'll get to see Herb Thrasher with Normal Rocks. That's right, our show, Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, an hour or two, depending on how long we go, of the best in metal, rock, jam band, hellbilly, all sorts of good stuff. Stick around with Herb Thrasher later tonight. I guarantee you'll have fun. Plus, we got all the other shows we'll tell you about later coming up on the Normal Network.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. WeedMaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. WeedMaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit WeedMaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply
of the sacred smoke. I smell pot coming from over here and grilled onions from over there. Two of my favorite smells ever. Both those onions and that pot smell really good up here, you know.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to LSD.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We talked about it a little bit in Hour 2 yesterday, but in a town hall meeting in New Hampshire this week, Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich was asked by a student if Thomas Jefferson and George Washington should have been arrested for growing marijuana. The former Speaker of the House, the author, the political consultant, and a history teacher answered that he thought that Jefferson and Washington would strongly discourage you from growing marijuana and that their tactics to make you stop growing it would be much more violent than they would be today. Now, to be fair, they do leave out the part of both founding farmers growing hemp in most elementary school books. Iowa caucus sweetheart Rick Santorum didn't fare any better with student voters this week. He was speaking at a forum hosted by New England College where he was asked by a student why conservatives tend to favor states' rights, except in the case of medical marijuana. The Republican candidate said that he didn't know the medical cannabis laws, but answered that he did believe marijuana use is dangerous based on his personal experience, adding, "I went to college too," a response that solicited boos from the crowd. And the leader of the race, top contender and Iowa caucus winner Mitt Romney, was asked by a student from SSDP, the Students for a Sensible Drug Policy, after an event in New Hampshire, what his views were on industrialized hemp. Romney clarified back to the student, "Industrialized hemp?" The student asked his question again, and he answered, "I'm sorry, I don't even know what industrialized hemp is." Well, that was Wednesday at a town hall meeting in Peterborough, New Hampshire. What do you think, Russ?
Well, you know, the ignorance of the GOP candidates, you can either chalk it up to ignorance, accidental or willful. In a lot of cases, I think it's willful ignorance, especially if we're talking about Newt Gingrich, who has his own personal experience with marijuana use, as does Rick Santorum, who admitted that he used marijuana as a college kid. But these guys always seem to come back to the idea that, yeah, it was okay that they did what they did. That was youthful indiscretions. But nowadays, now we need to keep marijuana illegal. The young guys in the 60s and 70s going to college, like Gingrich and Santorum, they didn't need to go to jail. But the older folks or the young folks today, that are using marijuana, they deserve a cell. The young lady that asked the question in New Hampshire the other day, you know, I'm a recreational drug user, should I go to jail? And Gingrich's response was, no, you shouldn't go to jail, but you shouldn't be a drug user in the first place. Pretty much synopsizes what the GOP thinks about
drugs
marijuana.
Drugs are bad.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do drugs.
The official line here.
If you do them, you're bad. Because drugs are bad, okay?
So it's not really surprising to get these reactions. I did like Mitt Romney's reaction, saying he didn't even know what industrialized hemp means. That's just, that goes to show you how effective 70 years of anti-cannabis propaganda has been in this country, when this entire country had 300 years of hemp heritage before it was ever banned. I mean, the first hemp plantations were planted in 1611 in the Jamestown colony. Our colonists could pay their taxes in hemp, and there was hemp fields as far as the eye could see. We have towns, I mean, Hempstead, New York, and many other towns, Hemp Hill, towns that are named after hemp, and yet you claim you want to be president of the United States and you don't understand what industrialized hemp is. It just shows, again, how far we've come in this propaganda against marijuana and how much more education we need to get to our political candidates.
A study was published today by a British medical journal that looked at global trends of illegal drugs and the effect on the public health. The prestigious journal The Lancet had findings that point to Australia and the neighboring country of New Zealand as the countries that use more marijuana and amphetamines than the rest of the world per capita. The study also showed that marijuana and amphetamine use is rapidly growing around the world. The study showed that as much as 15% of the population down under, that are between the ages of 16 and 65, had used marijuana in 2009, the last year that all the data was available for them to use in the study. For comparison, that same study found that North Americans' use was at about 11%. The lowest use would be the birthplace of cannabis, the place where it is indigenous, Asia. Asia had the lowest marijuana use reported at 2.5%, but the study does caution that obtaining data in some of these regions of less developed countries was difficult and may attribute to the very low reported usage rates. Now, one of the study's authors, Wayne Hall of the University of Queensland, said that Australia's marijuana usage rates have actually been steadily declining in the last decade. But Hall says that the availability of marijuana in rural areas of Australia and New Zealand make it difficult to police, and culturally, the acceptance of using intoxicants in general are more accepted in those countries and even at the center of all the social life down under. The Globa data suggested found that marijuana was by far the world's most consumed illicit drug, estimated at anywhere from 125 million users to 203 million users of marijuana worldwide. That far outpaces other illicit substances. The second on the list of most used illicit substances were amphetamines, used by an estimated 14 million to 56 million, and then cocaine that has an estimated usage of 12 million to 21 million users. But even with widespread usage of illicit drugs by power users, Australians, only 1% of the deaths there can be attributed to illegal drugs. In Australia, tobacco use attributes to 12% of the deaths there.
Yeah, that seems just about right. And, you know, knowing our friends in Australia, congratulate them on, I guess, being the world's greatest pot smokers, something like that. Hey, Americans, we need to get on the stick here and start doing something about this. We can't lose our worldwide standing to the Aussies. I mean, come on now. That's not a joint. This is a joint. We got to do better than that, you guys. There it is. Marijuana.
Australia.
So I guess we'll have to make a trip down under, John. We have to head down there and see how well they're puffing tough.
I can get with that.
I'm all for that, too. All right, Carrie, thanks for the world news.
And we definitely are heading over to New Zealand after that, I hope.
Yeah.
A second marijuana initiative in Washington State may also get a spot on the Washington State November ballot. Supporters of the most recent initiative turned in their first batch of collected signatures this morning to the Washington State Secretary Office for the initiative that's now called the Save Cannabis Act. It has yet to receive a number. The sponsor, Mimi Muse, says that their initiative was in response to the already filed Initiative 502, another initiative to legalize marijuana for adults in the state. That That initiative has turned in their second round of signatures and is most likely headed to the ballot. The reason why Muse and other medical marijuana patients have gotten behind a second initiative was because they felt I-502 contained what they see as an overly strict blood limit test for drivers under the influence of marijuana. In the Safe Cannabis Initiative, the move would be to decriminalize marijuana for patients and provide patients with protection from arrest. It also includes a provision to classify hemp as an agricultural product. The new initiative will need to be approved by the Office of the State Code Revisor, along with a passage by the State Attorney General. This next step in the initiative's journey will take a few weeks. Then they can begin to collect even more signatures.
All right. Well, hey, the more initiatives that qualify, you know, the more opportunities we have to legalize. Although I really wish that people could find a way to get behind just one. Just find the one that you're willing to support, you know, and let's all band behind it. Because one of the problems that you get is if you have too many of these initiatives going on, then you divide the support. You divide how many people can spend time gathering information for it, gathering signatures, the money that gets split between these, the confusion among some people that may not know which one of the petitions they've signed and accidentally sign one twice and invalidate a whole bunch of signatures. These are the things that can happen when you have too many of these initiatives going on. So I would really hope that we could get everybody together on this and find one initiative that we could band together. That being said, though, I do appreciate the democratic process and all the people that are trying to make a change here. And let's just hope that it doesn't work against us in the long run when we're trying to pass legalization for all people that use cannabis. All right, I'm going to go to the news here, give you a story that I picked up on the news wires this morning, a terribly sad story. You may remember the story of Rachel Morningstar Hoffman, I believe from 2008 that we told you. She was a 23-year-old college student in Florida who got caught selling some small amounts of pot. The cops terrified her with threats of prison, but offered her a way out by helping them as a confidential informant, or as we call them, a snitch, against two known violent drug dealers. She was sent on the sting to buy 2 ounces of cocaine, which she never used or sold, 1,500 ecstasy pills, and a handgun. The cops found her shot, execution style, in an empty lot after the dealers got Rachel to go off the sting's plan and accompany them in their car. The cops were supposed to be following and watching her the whole time, but they lost the suspects and didn't find Rachel's body until 36 hours later. This has led Rachel's family to champion a new law in Florida, Rachel's Law, that more strictly regulates how cops can use confidential informants. Well, this leads me to the story that unfortunately popped up on my radar today. A Detroit teen, a teen girl, was found murdered, mutilated, and set on fire in retribution for her snitch work, which she agreed to do when terrified by police about her inevitable time in prison for smoking pot. This from the Detroit News. Shelley Hilliard, age 19, was about to be arrested for possession of marijuana October 20th when police offered a way out, according to testimony during a court hearing Thursday. She could set up a drug deal. With the police listening on speakerphone, Hilliard used her cell phone to call Kasim Raqib, telling him she had someone, which was an undercover agent, who wanted to buy $335 worth of cocaine and marijuana, according to testimony during Raqib's preliminary examination Thursday in 36th District Court. Now, of course, after Raqib, this drug dealer, was arrested for, you know, the $335 deal, he was released very shortly after. Because drug dealers often are. They can afford to make bail, right? And these are usually low-level, in this case, a misdemeanor charge. So he then went and bought a burner cell phone, one of those disposable cell phones, and called Hilliard and tricked her into meeting him. And God knows why, but she agreed to go. I continue from the Detroit News. She was driven to the site by Robert Mullen, a taxi driver who testified during the hearing that he took Hilliard on all her calls. During the drive, Hilliard told Mullen she was worried about payback by Raqib for turning him in. Mullen arrived at the dark neighborhood to find three people, but couldn't identify them. Soon after dropping Hilliard off, Mullen got a call from her sounding scared, testified Mullen. The phone then sounded like it fell to the ground and went dead, he said. Yeah. As did poor 19-year-old Shelley Hilliard. Prohibitionists, you got to ask yourself, if you are continuing to support the criminalization of marijuana and the locking up and arresting of people for its use, then you are a person who is supporting these kind of outcomes. These kind of outcomes are inevitable in this snitch-based, confidential informant, corrupt drug war law enforcement paradigm that we have set up. How many more young women have to die? How many more young men have to die? How many more people have to be drafted into doing the police's work for them, for which they are not trained, they are not capable, and they are not educated to be able to handle that situation? Is it really so important that we got Kasim Rakib to go to buy $335 worth of cocaine and marijuana that a young woman should be mutilated, burned, and murdered over it?
I think it's time for a break.
Yes. I got no good segue out of that either. It just sucks, and it's got to end, and we won't stop until it does. We're right back with Herb Thrasher after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reefer Man? Reefer Man. Have you ever met that funny Reefer Man? Reefer Man. If he said he swam to China, he would tell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that Reefer Man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker.
All right, he's back from the great American South. He's made of metal, and he's here to bring the rock to the normal masses. It's Herb Thrasher. How you doing, Herb?
I'm doing great, dude. Glad to be back. Glad to be in this new year of 2012.
Yeah. It's starting out to be a pretty good one. And, of course, tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern, we got another edition of Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. What are some of the groups we're going to hear from tonight?
Yeah, we're excited, man, to get this thing going. We've kind of been waiting to 2012 so we can kind of really start to figure this show out. And tonight's the first episode of the year, and we're going to have some local new music from a Hellbilly band, Johnny Outlaw. Real excited to play him. I've been talking to him, and We're going to have them on the show soon, but we have a couple of songs, and we're going to play some Down and some Cannabis Corpse. There's an event going on out in the East Coast for Corey Smoot, who was formerly of Guar, and going to mention that, and just some upcoming things we're going to do this year, and have a good time with you, talk about some football and some sports, too.
Oh, I have a few things to talk about the Orange Bowl and and the Fiesta Bowl and some others, so yeah, we'll definitely get into that. Let's get into the rock for today, though. You got another great band for us. Tell us all about it.
Let's do, man. Monstro will take you on a trip of highs. Their self-titled debut album for Vagrant Records twists and turns through a psychedelic hard rock haze that's as hypnotic as it is heavy. They wanted to end up with a sound that reminded them of their heroes with blatant intimidation. What they arrived with was much bigger. The quartet conjured a style that draws upon everything from 60s psychedelica to stoner rock to heavy metal. Formed in 2009 in Atlanta, Monstro is the brainchild of bassist Kyle Sanders, drummer Bevan Davies, guitarist Juan Montoya, and guitarist-singer Carlos Suarez. Two of those guys, the drummer and bassist, were formerly of Blood Simple, and we've actually had a couple of their songs on Normal Rocks before. I think in week one or week two, we played a couple songs of them. So they've come full circle into another band. But if you like monster dueling guitars, clean surgeon vocals, and pounding drums, then you'll see why Anchors Up off their self-titled album is a must-listen. But just because it's 2012 doesn't mean you can't go back and listen to some of the music out of the last couple years. So go back and check these guys out. Monstro, you can check them out on their website, monstroband.com. They have a Facebook page and a MySpace. So check them out. Turn them up, guys, and check out Normal Rocks. We'll see you guys tonight, and keep rocking. Stay safe.
All right, keep on rocking. This is Monstro with Anchors Up on your Normal Daily Toker Tunes.
Drive. sink. In waves I crash and think. How seas of you storm fierce within me. I'm set to sail. I've braced my crew for hell. With anchors raised, I've sworn to let you be. To swim or sink, in waves I crash and think. I'll seize a few storm fierce within me. I'm set to sail, I've braced my crew.
Make something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD.
It just has something to say.
All of us can get a piece of that pie. And the reason we don't have headway is because that 1% can't figure out how they're going to make all the money.
It just has something to say.
Your Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, pot and politics, immediately following Danny Danko's Free Weed, here on
The Libra Lounge.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
All right, we're going back out to New York, and happy New Year to Steve Bloom. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, thank you. You too, Russ. How are you?
Doing really good. It's been a busy week. We've redone the whole studio and fixed a few things, so excuse us if some of the audio levels are still getting tweaked here, but we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, it's nice to be on at this late hour in New York.
Yeah. I'm glad you could make it, too. And we're trying to expand the lineup here so more people out there on the East Coast are off work and able to listen to the show. So thanks for accommodating that. We appreciate it. For today, I had a whole different slate of things to talk about, but this morning a post on Celeb Stoner kind of riled up the whole community, so I thought that's something we should talk about. To set the table, though, I want to make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. So today, there was a post on Celeb Stoner that came out through Twitter with the Twitter handle, Alan St. Pierre calls medical cannabis industry a farce and a sham, and let me read the post for you real quick here. This was Alan St. Pierre writing. Defending the medical cannabis industry is so yesterday. Why not acknowledge the political and legal farce it is and focus on the real problem at hand, ending cannabis prohibition? The law and court precedents are fairly clear here. Self-preservation, yes. Large-scale cultivation and sales, no. It's just this simple. The numerous actions by the feds and state governments over the last few months make this abundantly clear. And then he lists out, you know, ATF memo, bank crackdown, IRS 280E, and so on. And basically the Post goes on to say that advocacy for medical cannabis today would be like advocating for medical alcohol in the 1920s. Prescription alcohol was a sham then, and so forth. And this has brought up a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of controversy in the community. So, Steve, I wanted to start with the Post itself, because I know the genesis of this. It was part of a private email on a private listserv going out just to Normal lawyers back in October. How did it end up on Celeb Stoner in January?
Well, I really wasn't familiar with the private listserv, comments that were going on until we posted this, a couple of things about Harborside Health Center, Steve D'Angelo's opinion that he's opposed to legalizing marijuana for recreational use, and then his lengthy explanation as to why he thinks that marijuana should be for wellness purposes and not for recreational use. And so with all that stuff, bouncing around the web and Celeb Stoner at the end of the year, I received an email from Warren Edson, who formerly was, a big player for Normal in Denver and Colorado. And he was the one who let me know about this. I had heard that there was a conflict going on between Colorado and National Normal over medical marijuana, but I wasn't that familiar with the details of it. So Warren sent me the listserv comment that a reply that Alan St. Pierre, the ex-executive director of Normal, had sent, and it was read by a lot of people on listserv, and it was so inflammatory to some people, such as the Edsons, Warren and his wife Georgia. They took such issue with it that they broke away from Normal, or they stopped their association with Normal. So I just read it all, and I thought it was, fairly controversial. It was something I wanted to get around to posting a Celeb Stoner and seeing what people think. But out of respect to Alan, I wasn't just going to run it just as is. I did send it to Alan, and I said to him, what do you think about me posting this as Celeb Stoner? And he gave me the go-ahead. And he gave it to me a few days ago, but I didn't really get around to it till now. And I just wanted to really make sure that Alan wanted to go public with this, and he does. So the main point here is that Alan feels, and Normal in general, and by the way, you've written about this at length in the past, and I have followed that up with a piece called, called Has Medical Marijuana Peaked? That really was based on your post of about a month ago or more, bringing up all these questions as to, how successful is the medical marijuana movement at this point, and is it time to maybe back away from the medical legalization efforts and go full bore into taxing and regulating marijuana for all uses. So it turns out, there's a big conflict and a big debate in the marijuana world over this. And I really wanted to put it out there. The Celeb Stoner, it's not necessarily my opinion. Just because Alan says something doesn't mean I agree with it. But I feel, of course, Alan is the leading voice, of the whole legalization movement as the head of Normal. So when Alan says something, you listen and you want to hear what he has to say. And I've been listening to this argument for a while that medical marijuana is becoming kind of a bit of a joke. It's become the butt of a lot of jokes on TV, comics, late night hosts, in movies. It's not a bad joke, but they're always making fun of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's the worst thing that Seth Rogen in the movie 50-50, makes a joke when he's asked, why do you need medical marijuana? And he goes with a smirk, I have night blindness. Mm-hmm. But it really does lead to the point in the argument that you have to come up with some explanation as to why you need marijuana for medical use in the states where it's legal, especially in Colorado and California, where there are the most dispensaries. So I have really given it some thought, and I do think that there's a bit of a backlash, as we know, on a political level and also on a cultural level. It's really opened up some huge doors, medical marijuana, to get more Americans thinking of marijuana in a positive way. And I think it's accomplished that purpose, and I think you think that as well. So maybe it's time to move beyond that. But there's a big debate there because, mm-hmm. Steve D'Angelo, who's one of the leaders of the medical marijuana movement, thinks that all use of marijuana is essentially medical, and is used in the purpose of wellness. And, you know, when Steve wrote that article that I posted at Celeb Center, I kind of felt there was a lot of legitimacy what he had to say. I don't disagree. You know, I just feel like there's a lot to sort of discuss here. And what I'm trying to do with Celeb Stoner is let Celeb Stoner be a place for these discussions and comments to go. Let people, I know a lot of people think, oh, we shouldn't be even airing this because it's fodder for the anti-people, it's fodder for the prohibitionists. I don't really care. I think we need to air this stuff and vet this stuff so that we can get on the same page as much as we can together to move ahead to the next step, whatever that next step is. Yeah. And, you know, you and Alan have made the point that Prop 19 didn't succeed in California, partially due to the fact that the medical community did not support it. So, you know, how are we going to move ahead with legalization for all purposes if the medical community is not going to be behind us? And I think that's kind of partially what you and Alan have been saying. So I really wanted to put it out there more than anything else.
You know, and I agree with you there, too, because I've heard those responses saying, well, we shouldn't bring this up because then the prohibitionists will use it against us. It's like, look, don't shoot the messenger. It's not Alan St. Pierre who's smoking the 3-foot joints in the Prop 215 area of the Cypress Hill show and calling it medical, right? It's these abuses and excesses are already out there, and we've seen the reaction of legislators who are nervous in Pennsylvania and New York, and of course the reactions in New Jersey with their program, where we constantly hear legislators, when our lobbyists go to talk to them, the legislators say, yeah, we don't want to be like California. Yeah, we don't want to have pot shops on every corner like Colorado, where they cite those abuses to stymie the further progression of medical marijuana. And I think that's what we're addressing. And one other thing, I've been reading a lot of the comments on this on Toke of the Town, on Celeb Stoner, on Facebook, where it seems that in discussing this, some people cannot separate medical marijuana, the industry and the system we have has been turned into a farce and a sham by some, versus medical marijuana itself is something that can help people medically. Nobody disputes that medical marijuana works and is medicine. And I think some patients are taking it personally.
Well, I agree with that. I know what you're saying, but I think, you know, the definition of medical marijuana is kind of vague. You know, in California, they left it vague so that it would allow for, you know, pretty much anyone with some kind of legitimate medical problem to access marijuana. And that's, you know, generally worked, you know, but there's still, you know, a lot of questions, you know, when you're trying to, you know, move ahead with new laws, you know, how will that succeed? You know, like you said, in New Jersey, you know, Governor Christie there very clearly said, you know, you're not going to be able to get medical marijuana if you have insomnia. That's not what it's for. Now, I think it's very useful for insomnia,
sure,
to be honest.
Too.
I think I'd rather smoke a joint than take a pill before I go to sleep. And yes, I do agree to some extent that marijuana is all part of a wellness. It's all part of what you want to put into your body and make yourself better, as you know, in your life. You know, you feel that it does something beneficial for you, and part of that benefit might be medical. And I know you've parsed that a lot too, and you bring up the point, well, it's not really why I use marijuana, and then, you know, but then to some extent you kind of admit that it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, there's a real fine line in here that we're trying to sort of figure out. So I do see, you know, the concerns about the backlash, and I think the backlash is affecting, you know, new legislation. It's affecting, you know, the way the government has, you know, taken such a strong stance against medical marijuana in the last year or so. You know, a lot of that has to do with just the movement of marijuana leaving those states. They're following that. You know, there's an abundance of marijuana in these medical states, especially Colorado and California. I live in the East Coast. It's coming here. You know, we see it all the time.
Yep.
We're all smoking pot from California. Hey, that's great. I don't mind that personally because it's better weed for us. But that's what they're going after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of looking at that and saying, hey, this is not really what it's supposed to be for. It's supposed to be for, you know, the residents of the state and not supposed to be leaving the state for, let's say, you know, for sake of argument, or, you know, for the word that, you know, that's been bandied around, for recreational uses, that people are not really using it for medicine. They're using it for, you know, their personal uses. So, you know, it's, you know, there's just a lot of issues here to deal with. And I think, you know, this is sort of, you know, digging in and trying to sort of, you know, make it clear that Normal is kind of taking a stand that we're moving away from this approach and we're trying to move into another direction. Normal has stood behind the medical marijuana issue, you know, for 15 years, there's no question. You know, Normal has helped, you know, legalize medical marijuana in numerous states. But I can see the point that maybe the time is to right now to move in another direction, because if you're going to get these very strict medical marijuana laws, what's the point? You know, yeah. We're still waiting for medical marijuana to become available in all these East Coast states where it's very restricted. We're still waiting on New Jersey. We're waiting on Vermont. We're waiting on New Hampshire. I'm sorry, we're waiting on Rhode Island. We're waiting on Maine. You know, all these states are, you know, are threatened, and they're not getting anywhere because of this backlash. So, I mean, somehow or other, you know, it has to sort of move to another step. And yeah. So I think Alan maybe says it in a way that irritates people who are really deeply involved as medical patients or owners of dispensaries or people who work there, and really, you know, they believe very strongly that this is what it's all about, and that's, you know, let's not change things. I think in California last year, you know, a lot of the reasons why Prop 19 didn't win was because the medical industry kind of felt like this is successful. Why change it? And look what's happened in the last year. I think a lot of those people who were pretty much opposed to medical to Prop 19 might change their tune now.
Yeah,
because
I hope
some
so.
Of them are out of business.
Yeah,
you know, and so you know they, you know, so what do they think now?
Yeah. Well, Steve Bloom from celebstoner.com, you can check out the entire article at celebstoner. There's already 47 comments on it. I'm looking at it right now. It's called Alan St. Pierre on Medical Marijuana, celebstoner.com. And Steve Bloom, thanks for joining us and giving us some light on the subject.
Next time we'll talk about some real celebstoner.
Yeah,
subjects,
yeah.
Okay?
We've got Alan St. Pierre holding
on. Football and movies. It's a little slow. It's early January, so let's focus on activism.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, Steve. And we got Alan St. Pierre hanging on the line for our next segment. And then we'll take your calls in Hour 2 in Toker Talk Radio at 971-533-7111. If you want to talk about it, give us a call, 971-533-7111. That's in 15 minutes, so hold off a while. Alan St. Pierre is next. You're listening to Normal Show Live. Also, don't forget that we got other shows on the Normal Network for you to check out today. Hemp Radio from Orange County, California is on at 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern. Check it out at Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher at 9 o'clock.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Porque le falta... Marihuana que fuma.
You chimpin.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Let's not get into that yet. I have a question.
Is this an emergency, sir?
Depends.
Well,
not really.
If it's not an emergency, you don't call 911, sir.
Well, I have a legal question.
Well, it's not. Is this an emergency?
I don't know what that means.
Is it life-threatening or an active crime in progress?
Crime in progress, possibly.
What's going on?
I was just growing some marijuana. I was just wondering what the, how much, you know, trouble you can get into for one plant.
You're growing marijuana and you want to know how much, depends on how big the plant is.
It's only a seedling.
No, it's possession.
Okay.
You can get pinched for a roach in a car.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the info.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Do you want to hear my call?
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are pleased to have Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, joining us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Alan.
Good evening, Russ.
Hey, did someone piss in your cornflakes today? Because I know I woke up this day to a real firestorm.
I certainly got a lot of email, more than usual.
Well, let's tell people about it. We're talking about a post up on celebstoner.com that purports to relate information or an opinion that you've given, calling the medical cannabis industry is so yesterday, and pointing out a lot of the frauds and shams going on in that. And the reaction's been varied, but a lot of people have, I won't say a lot, but I've seen many people commenting that, oh, how could Normal call medical marijuana a sham? And I wanted to give you a chance to address that and put people's fears at ease.
Well, to be sure, medical marijuana itself is hardly a sham. It is, as Judge Young ruled in Normal versus DEA, it is the safest therapeutic substance known to man. It is, as Lester Grinspoon on Normal's board of directors has described for years, the most utilitarian drug next to aspirin and far safer. So there's no question about that. The question is the medical marijuana industry, particularly when the industry is putting money up against legalization, for example, or has a tin ear politically regarding the excesses, the obvious excesses of the industry. And so what was posted on Celeb Stone today was not an essay I wrote. It was a reply on a private listserv. I think I sent it in early November of 2011, so this is almost a 90-day-old response, to a lawyer who took umbrage with the fact that I posted a column written by a police officer, I believe in either California or Colorado, who wrote this barely tongue-in-cheek expose about how easy it was for him to get medical marijuana and how readily he exposed what he believes and what many people would obviously see is a very flawed, quote, public health, unquote, system. So, basically, my reply back to that individual who didn't want to hear any bad news about medical marijuana at all and pretends in many respects that there is no bad news, sort of rather panaceic and Pollyannish, that I think I was on a plane or maybe in an airport when I jotted off the reply to this individual, basically saying, no, there are serious concerns about medical marijuana industry. And I listed all the many different things that are problematic. Mm-hmm. These have been discussed openly at Normal conferences for the last 4 years. The Normal legal seminars where the lawyers come, this has been discussed for well over 10 years about the problems associated with selling marijuana. So I tried to just bottom line it in what is seemingly acceptable now at the federal level. The federal government right now seems to be okay with people growing a small amount on their own, using a small amount of medical marijuana. They don't seem to contest that. Where they contest it is when people grow a large amount of marijuana, then sell the excess to somebody else, who then turns around and sells it to a consumer. In this case, somebody who is rightly or wrongly claiming to be a medical patient. Mm-hmm. So all these things that were observed in this memo were things that are readily talked about every single day in the media by columnists, many of whom, and editorial boards, who are in favor of medical marijuana and its access to it, but readily point to some of the warts associated with the industry associated with medical marijuana, not medical marijuana itself.
You know, one of the criticisms brought up is that it's not necessarily the point being made, but making the point, in that reformers, say, in Texas or Tennessee or somewhere else that are fighting for medical marijuana, will have to face opponents now that'll say, see, even the executive director of Normal thinks medical marijuana is a farce and a sham. Your response to that?
Well, I think if one is to take that for what it is, if there's any entity who can logically and truthfully call out where there are problems with medical marijuana, it has got to be the organization and individuals like myself who can speak to the fact that at a macro level, a national level, not in somebody's town and what they see or in their county, but when you work at the national level and you travel to the 16 states that have medical marijuana, the 5 or 6 of them that have retail access to some degree, it's hard to imagine that there could not be a better position to speak to these ills. If Normal, who started this entire argument in the 1970s and championed all of this to this point, cannot say, hey, wait a minute, there are some obvious excesses here. There are some serious pot profiteering going on here. Who can? Who will? So to the extent that a legislator anywhere in the United States is going to look to something that I have said and say, oh, that's prima facie evidence that medical marijuana is just a scam, well, that would mean they'd have to look past the 18,000 studies regarding medical or cannabis and marijuana use in general. They'd have to look past all the efficacy, safety concerns and studies. They'd have to look past the terrible ill effects of the prohibition. So I can appreciate where somebody could sort of project on to this discussion that because Normal tells the truth about the problems associated with medical marijuana, but that doesn't mean that that's not going to fix the problems associated with the medical marijuana industry. And the very point I was making in that memo was simply this. California has, for all intents and purposes, no regulatory concerns, controls, or taxation at the state level over medical cannabis. And this is why the federal government is engaged in such mishigas there. They are not engaged in the same type of harassment in Colorado. And my point in the memo was because Colorado actually has passed legislatively regulatory laws, taxation schemes, and so if the federal government is going to go to Colorado, they have to first harass the state players, and they're not doing that. So in California, they can pick off the low-hanging fruit of the what we call the ganjapreneurs because they have no state law protection. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because California was the first state to have medical marijuana. It is the state where 1 out of 8 Americans live. It generates so much culture, whether that's the Weed Show or Bill Maher's show or Cheech and Chong or whatever. And it's generated for almost 10 years the idea that people walk into these places and they buy medical marijuana and they take it home and it's no problem. And for all intents and purposes, that's how it's worked in about 50% of the counties in California. But in the other 50% of the counties, you can't buy medical marijuana. Nobody can distribute it or send it to your house. You can't set up a collective. You can't advertise it. So even in California, the land of milk and honey regarding marijuana, 50% of the population doesn't have retail access to it.
Yeah, it's something we've been talking about many, many times. And, you know, the other thing, too, that should be pointed out is whenever there's a discussion like this, there's a tendency for people to go into the all or nothing thinking. All this, nobody that, never, always. Those things are very rarely true. There's a lot of shades of gray. And there are many people in the medical cannabis industry, many of the industry players themselves, who are great supporters of legalization and put a lot of money behind legalization and were disgusted by the antics of some of the people during Prop 19 that were trying to take it down to protect their medical interests. So it's not the entire medical cannabis industry, but to deny that there's some, you know, shenanigans going on here is to just invite the opposition to call us for a lack of credibility when even we can't point this out, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's so completely self-evident and something I've seen you write and talk about, lecture about. I mean, if you go to a medical dispensary cup or something and you've got all these bodacious women and things going on and medical marijuana strains that don't sound like medicine, it doesn't really help our cause either.
Yeah, well, it's a complex discussion. We'll keep going in Toker Talk Radio in hour two. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. What's your opinion on this? Let's get it out. Let's talk about it. That's what we're here for. Alan St. Pierre is the Executive Director of Normal and the Normal Foundation, joining us from Washington, D.C. Thanks again, Alan.
Hope you have a very helpful night.
It'll be a great weekend, I'm sure. That's it for Hour 1 here and the podcast. Thanks for joining us for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ. We'll be back next week with a new lineup. We've got some new video shows, including Jody Emery, Token Daily, Coral Reefer, Leap, and SSDP videos in the afternoons right here on the Normal Network. Check out our schedule at normal.org/AV. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.